Today's Shir Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Ayin Dalad. And we will begin on Daf Kuf Ayin Dalad, Amr Aleph, second line. It says the Gemara, Amr Rabba Bechana, Amr Rabbi Yochanan. Kol Makom Shoshana Gemilei B'Mishnaseinu. Wherever a Mishnah quotes an opinion of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, and the Sheet Mekubetza says what that means is when the Mishnah explicitly quotes of Shimon Gamliel. But if it's a situation, says the Shita, where somebody is reporting that that's what Rav Shimon Gamliel said, that isn't what the Gemara means. The Tosfos also says that the Rav Shimon Gamliel that's being referred to in our Gemara is Rav Shimon Gamliel that lived after the Churban Habayis, one of the last Tanoim, and he was the father of Rebbe, not the other of Shimon Gamliel, who lived in the time of Rebbe Lezer, and that of Shimon Gamliel was the son of Rebbe Gamliel Hazokin. So says the Gemara, Kol Makom Shana Rebbe Shimon Gamliel Mishnaseinu, wherever Rebbe Shimon Gamliel's opinion is quoted in a Mishnah, Halacha Kamaisa, the Halacha follows his opinion, Chutz Mi, except for three situations, which that is not the case. One is, well, we're learning in our sugya, Arev, that what is the halacha if there's an Arev Kablin, as we've been discussing in our shiurim, there are different types of Arev. There's an Arev and there's an Arev Kablin. What would be the halacha if there is a Arev Kablin, and can somebody collect from the Arev Kablin even if the loiva has the ability to pay? And the halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is that we always go after the loiva first, but rather he says that the first that goes to, like the Tanakama, who says it goes to the Arav, you could go to the Arav Kablin first. The next place that we have Rav Shimon Gamliel, the halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel, where you go to the loiva first. The next is a Gemara Masechta Gittin Daf Ayin Dalad, where somebody divorced his wife, and he made a stipulation that the divorce is only valid if she gives him a certain garment, and now that garment got lost. According to Tanakama, since he was specific in saying that this garment, so even though she's prepared to give the money, it doesn't make it the value. The stipulation was for the garment specifically. Whereas according to Shimon Gamliel, if you can't find the garment, you give the value of the garment. And here, the halacha is like the Tanakama. If the stipulation was clearly for the garment, that's what has to be given. And the next is a Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Aleph, which is known as Raya Achroina. And what the case there is, where somebody said to Beis Din that Ein Li Edim, there's a case going on in Beis Din, and one of the litigants said, Ein Li Edim, I have no further witnesses. Ein Li Raya, I have no further Raya to support my claim. And afterwards, he did find Edom or Raya to support his claim. According to the Tanakama, once he has made the statement that he has no further witnesses, no further Rayas, then the halacha is he can't retract in that. Whereas according to Shimon Gamliel, if he does find Edom or he does find Rayas, we accept it. And here too, that the machloikas is not, the halacha is not like Shimon Gamliel, that we will accept those witnesses. But rather, the halacha is we don't accept those witnesses. Now the Gemara begins to discuss different terminology that was used in different situations, and the point of all of this discussion is this an effective mean of accepting upon oneself to be an orif, to be a guarantor, and furthermore, what needs to be understood is what type of an Arev. Because as we've been learning, we already said it in our shiur today, that there's a difference between a regular Arif and Arif Kablin. So how the person accept upon himself the Arvis is very critical. And therefore says the Gemara Amar Rav Huna, if an Arif says to the Malva, Hilveyu van the Arif, lend this person the money and I will be the guarantor. He says, Hilveyu van the Pereya, lend them the money and I'll pay back. Hilveyu van the Chayiv, and he says that way. Havia van the Etain. All of these are considered Lashon Arvis. They're all Lashon of Arvis, but they all are considered a regular Arvis. And as we've been saying, the halacha by regular Arvis is you go after the loiva first. If the loiva doesn't have the ability to pay, that's when they go after the Arv. But if he used this type of terminology, he says, ten loiva ani kablin, ten loiva ani pereya, ten loiva ani chayiv, ten loiva ani eten, all of these are much stronger wording, and all of them a wording of Kol Lashon Kabbalah and saying that he's an Arif Kablin. As we said a few moments ago, the halacha by Arif Kablin is not only is the Arif held responsible, but even much more than that. You could go after the Arif even before going after the Loiva. Ask the Gemara Ibailhu, so they had the question if the wording that was used was Hilveyu Vani Kablin, which says Ten Loiva Ani Arif. How do we understand these wording? Do we say that since he used the word Havah, or used the word Nesina, so what he means is that this person that I'm asking you to lend the money to, he will become the Loiva. And since he's going to become the Loiva, so he is the primary responsible, he becomes the primary responsible party to pay back. And I am no more than a regular Arif. And therefore, you have to go after the Arif first. And only if the Arif doesn't have the ability to pay, then and only then can you come after me. Or do we say, since he used the word Kablon, or he used the word Tenloi, so that's a much higher level of involvement. And since he used the higher level of involvement, that means he wants to be an Arif Kavlin. And the Ritva points out that the same question would come up if somebody said ten loivani arev. On one hand, the fact that he said the word vani arev is an indication that he only wanted to be a regular arev. On the other hand, the fact that the way he said that the money should be lent was ten loy, and as we were learning, ten loy is a much stronger request. And since it's a much stronger request, maybe it meant that he'll be an Arif Kablin. Amar Rav Yitzchak says that whenever you use the word Arvis, it means a regular Arif. When you use the word Kablonis, even if you said Tenloi, if you use the word Kablonis, it means Kablonis. So in other words, according to Rav Yitzchak, the word Arif means an Arif, no matter in what context it was used. And the word Kablin always means Kablin, no matter in what context it was used. Rav Chizda's opinion here, however, is Kulan, any wording that has an indication of Kablonis, which means the word Tenloi, or the word Vani Kablin, or the word Vani Pereya, anything that has a connotation of Arvis, of Arif Kablin, is a Lashon Kablon saying, are treated like an Arif Kablin. And therefore, he'll have the halacha of an Arif Kablin. When is he just going to be a regular Arif? Only when he used the words Halveyu. So Halveyu is a wording that doesn't represent Arvis. And he only said Vani Arif, again, a wording that doesn't indicate Kablonis. Says the Gemara of Rav Amma, Kulon Lashon Arvisein, he holds just opposite. That under normal circumstances, unless very, very clear otherwise, we assume that what is meant is just to be a regular Arif. Only if everything in his statement indicates Arvis, meaning Bar only in the case where he said ten loy v'ani noisein, only where it's very, very clear that it's as if I am becoming the loiva, is he an Arav Kablan. Amalei mar b'arvei mil ravashi, hocha ama abba, my father, a maimer said, ten loy v'ani oisein, if that's the wording of Kablanus. Ve'elamava aloiva klum. And the Gemara, he uses even a stronger halacha. He says when somebody uses this language, not only does he become an Arav Kablan, but he becomes the loiva. And there's no recourse only to the Arav. But says the Gemara of Elohi, that isn't the halacha. Loimifte mine de malva. The loiva is not off the hook. Ad sheyisav yitin beyad. Unless the Arav takes the money directly from the malva and gives it to the loiva. In such a situation, the Arav is considered like the loiva, and all of the responsibility is only on the loiva, on the Arav, and the loiva is completely ignored. Only in that case is the loiva completely ignored. In any other situation, the halacha is he's not ignored. But I saw that the Ramban says that what will be the case in the case that we just identified of Achiyisa v'yisim biyad, but the Arif doesn't have the ability to pay. Will he be able to go after the loiva? The Ramban's opinion is that yes, that even though the Gemara says that the Arif Kablin, in such a case of Yisa v'yitin biyad, takes on a very high level of responsibility, the loiva still owes money to the Arif. And since the loiva owes money to the Arif, we have a lochah throughout Shas of Shibud Reb Nosson. If I owe you money and you owe somebody else money, then if the person who owes the other person money doesn't have the ability, they go after me. The loiva is no worse than such situation. And since the loiva is no worse than a Shibud Reb Nosson, if the Arav can't pay and the loiva can pay, we're going to go after the loiva. Hahu Dayanam, says the Gemara, there was a situation with a certain dayan, the achse lemalva lenichse de loiva, that he had the malva be able to extract money from the loiva, bekame the litva le loiva, before he was able to ask the loiva to pay. The pashup shot is that he went after the loiva's cash versus going after the loiva's assets. And what happened, says the Gemara, Salke Rav Chanan Barei de Rav Yeva. He removed him from being the dayan. Because the halacha is that, and why is this the halacha? Says the Nemukhi Yosef. And in our previous year, we explained that when a person becomes an Arav, what is the halacha comparison to that? So we explained that just like we so often in our shiurim say that the chosim, that a person is a, all of his assets become meshubed, become mortgaged to the loan, the Arav is like those assets. And therefore, here too, the halacha is that if you went after, you have to go after those assets. When the dayan went and didn't do so, then the halacha is that he did the wrong thing and he was removed. And the Rishonim explained that the reason is that since he made this mistake, we need to remove him, that he shouldn't make further mistakes. So I saw that Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman Zatzal in the Sefer Ayal Sashachar says that the Gemara does discuss often the halacha of a dayan who makes a mistake. There are different types of mistake. Tor b'dvar Mishnah, if he forgot a Mishnah. Tor b'shikol adas, his logic was wrong. But nowhere does the Gemara say that he should be removed from his position. Where is the precedent, he asks, that our Gemara is saying that this person should be removed? So explains the Ayel Sashachar, that where is the halacha that a dayan is not removed from making an error? So he says a dayan is not removed from making an error in a case where there's a dayan mefursim. He's a famous dayan, well-known dayan, and he doesn't deserve to lose his position because he made an error. But in a case, he explains, which is the case of our Gemara, where he wasn't really a dayan mefursim, he wasn't somebody who was really well known. So since he wasn't a dayan that was well known, the concern of removing him is a much less serious concern. And therefore, because they saw that he was making errors and the embarrassment of removing him wasn't so significant, they just removed him. Amar Rava, man hochem lavim hakam milsa. Who is so smart to do what you just did? What you did is the right thing. Ilav Rav Chanan ben Rav Yehuda. Rav Chanan ben Rav Yehuda had the right approach what to do. Because his opinion, the nechsei the marinish, anything I own, anything the loiva owns, inen ma'arva yosei, they are the arevim, they are the guarantors on his loan. Tanan, says the Gemara, we just learned in our Mishnah, hamavas chaver yidei arav lo yifrim an arav. We only go after the Arev if the loiva doesn't have the ability to pay. And here too, the halacha is that even though there were assets, you had no right to go after the assets before going after the Arev himself. And the dayan who made that mistake deserves to be removed. Says the Gemara, who Arev the Yasmi? There was a person who was an arev for a loan, and there was an arev on that loan. So that means somebody passed away. He left over yisoimim, and he left over obligation with an arev. So there was ha'u arev the yasmi, the pari lamalva, that paid off the malva, the kamadale de yasmi. He paid off this loan before he notified the yisoimim that he's going to pay off the loan. And now he went to the Yisoimim, and he told the Yisoimim, I paid off the loan, and now you have to pay me back. Amar Papa. So Papa says that the Yisoimim are not obligated to repay the Arif. Why? Says the Gemara, Prius Balchoiv, the obligation to pay off a debt is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, as the Torah says, Hin tzedek yulachem, and the Gemara Masechta B'Metzia, Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph explains, from here we learn, Shechin shalchem, your word, Yeh tzedek, should be tzedek. The Yasmi, that says the Gemara, these Yisoyim, who were Ketanim, Labnei Mitzvah Nenu, they're not, obligated to do mitzvahs. So, as we've been learning, you always go after the loiva first. In this case, who was considered the loiva? The yisoimim. And the yisoimim don't have the obligation to fulfill this mitzvah. So there's no obligation to pay off this loan. And since there's no obligation to pay off this loan, the arev didn't have to jump in and pay. Our Gemara now introduced the concept of Prius Balchayiv Mitzvah. Paying off a loan is considered a mitzvah. So Reb Chaim says that he was asked the question. I saw that the world says that the person who asked him the question was actually the Imre Emes. He says, if our Gemara says that the obligation to pay off a loan, Prius Balchayiv, the obligation to pay off a loan is a mitzvah. The question that Reb Chaim was asked, that we know that the halacha is, Hamavazbiz, Ayavazbiz Yosem Mechaimish. If somebody has to spend money on a mitzvah, he doesn't have to pay more than 20%. So the question is, that was asked to Reb Chaim, if somebody has limited funds, and because he has limited funds, he doesn't have really the ability to pay off his chayvus. He shouldn't have to spend more than 20% to pay off for the mitzvah. Why does the mitzvah say that, why does the halacha say that priest b'chay mitzvah, no matter if you don't have the money or not? So Chaim answered that, what does that mean, that you don't have to spend more than 20% on the mitzvah? It means as follows, that if a person has indeed the obligation to do a mitzvah, but he has limited funds with which to fulfill the mitzvah, the Torah says you don't need to spend, you don't need to spend more than 20% on fulfilling that mitzvah. But what are we saying? We're saying is you won't spend more than 20% and you'll be left with the money and you can keep that money for yourself. Said Reb Chaim, when somebody doesn't pay off his chayv, the money that he's holding on to is not his money. The only time we say priest b'chayv, the only time we say avazbaz ayvaz yos mechaymish, is if you're going to be left with that money. But if you're not going to be left with the money anyway, because the money's not yours, you owe it to somebody else, there we don't say avazbaz ayvaz yos mechaymish. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is based on a vart that Reb Moshe Feinstein Zatzal says in the Shas Tshuva, it was Moshe Erechaim Chelik Hei Simen Mem Aleph. He says that what's the halacha? We know that the obligation of a pinyan ben, if somebody Baruch Hashem has a bechor, he has to make a pinyan ben, and he has to pay to the kohen. He has to give to the kohen hey sloim, five sloim. So Reb Moshe again asked the same question. What would be the halacha if somebody has very limited funds and the hay sloim represent more than 20% of what he has? Would he have to spend that entire money on doing a pinyan ben? Or we can make an argument, hamavazbaz, alivazbaz, yosu mechaymish, he doesn't have to spend more than 20% to do the mitzvah. So Reb Moshe says, of course he has to spend as much as he can to do the mitzvah. Why? Either's the 20% rule. So Reb Moshe says, where is there a rule of al mevazbez al yivazbez yoyis mechaymish? Reb Moshe says that rule applies where there's no specific price attached to the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah for us to have an esrig, but the Torah doesn't tell us how much to spend on an esrig. So there's alocha al mevazbez al yivazbez yoyis mechaymish. You don't have to spend more than 20% on an esrig of your assets. But where the Torah gives a number to what is the way to fulfill the mitzvah, there we don't say mevazbez al yivazbez yoyis mechaymish. The Torah attached a number to that mitzvah. The number about a mitzvah, pinyan ben, is hey sloim. The number the number attached to priyas bal chayiv mitzvah, the mitzvah that our Gemara is telling us, is all of the loan. When there's a number that the Torah attaches to the fulfillment of the mitzvah, there we don't say hamavazbez al yivazbez yoyis mechaymish. I also saw the Rav Shlomo Hyman came once to a pinyan ben, and there was a question: should they daven first? They had a daven mincha ma'ariv, or should they do the pinyan ben? And there was an argument said that they should do the tefillah first, because Tadav Shaina Tadar Kaidim. Said Rav Shlomo Hyman that the halacha would be that if I have a chiv, just like he says, Priyas Bal Chayiv Mitzvah. So if I have to pay off a debt, so when I have to pay off a debt, Rav Shlomo Hyman said, it doesn't only affect me, it also affects the person to whom I owe the money. And therefore, I can't say, well, now I have two mitzvahs. I have a mitzvah to daven, and I have a mitzvah to pay off the debt, and I don't know which mitzvah to do first, so we'll apply the rule of Tadav Shaina Tadar Tadar Kaidim. Said Rav Shlomo Hyman, that's only if I have two mitzvahs that pertain to me. If the two mitzvahs pertain to me, I have to choose Tadav Shaina Tadar Tadar Kaidim. But if there's a mitzvah that doesn't just pertain to me, there's one mitzvah that pertains to me, the mitzvah of davening. And there's another mitzvah that also pertains to somebody else, the mitzvah of paying off the chayiv, or the mitzvah of pinyan ben, which doesn't just pertain to me, it also pertains to my son.
There we don't say tada v'sheina tada koidim. And Rabbi Shlomo Hyman said, pay off the loan first. And pay, and do the pinyan aben first, and only afterwards daven. So then I saw that Chedush Rim asks that we know throughout Shas there's a halacha, a mitzvah la'av lahenes netnu. Mitzvahs were not given for enjoyment. So ask the Chedush Rim if our Gemara, and that's what halacha, for example, is, we could use an esrig that is also b'hano. I'm using that something where I'm not allowed to have benefit from. The halacha is that mitzvah lav lahenes netnu. Mitzvahs were not meant to have enjoyment. So what would be the halacha if somebody has to pay off a debt and the only funds that he has available is something that's osa b'hano? Would he be allowed to use something which is osa b'hano to pay off his debt? And the reason we would apply such a concept is because we would say, mitzvahs lav lahenes netnu. I'm paying off the debt to fulfill a mitzvah, and mitzvahs lav lahenes netnu. So the Achrayim explain that when do we say mitzvahs lav lahenes netnu? The example that we just gave, you're using an esrig that is osa b'hano. So if you're using an esrig which is osa b'hano, so we say mitzvahs lav lahenes netnu. Because when are we fulfilling the mitzvah? We're fulfilling the mitzvah at the time that we're doing the mitzvah. And since we're fulfilling the mitzvah at the moment we're doing the mitzvah, and we say mitzvahs lav lahenes netnu, so it's not an issue. When I pay off a chayv, when am I fulfilling the mitzvah? It's not just the moment that I pay off the debt. It remains even after I pay off the debt that I no longer have this chayv. There we don't say the rule of mitzvahs. There we don't say the rule of mitzvahs lav lahenes netnu. Our Gemara just said that prius bal chayv is mitzvah. Paying off a debt is mitzvah, but we don't have to. That but yisaimim don't have to give a mitzvah. So I saw that Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin had a home for Yisaimim in Yerushalayim, and he used to ask Yisaimim, people who, children who are Yisaimim, to give to them, to give money for the base Yisaimim. And they asked him, we just learned in our Gemara that the Yisaimim are not mechuyev and mitzvahs. So he says that indeed, Yisaimim are not mechuyev to give mitzvahs. But he says, if the mitzvah that they're doing is not just to fulfill a mitzvah, but it's to able to have, that they will have personal benefit, then the halacha is that they're allowed to take money, that they're allowed to spend money. And that's what he's saying here, that the Yisaimim giving money for the basic assignment will help that there should be Jewish children to whom they could get married. So it's not a mitzvah, it's for their own purpose. Another, and I saw, he quoted a story from Yitzhak Volozhiner, who would use stock, he also had a base assignment, had an orphanage, and he took funds from the orphanage to pay for people to check for their mezuzahs. And they asked him, how could you use that money for such a purpose? He says, I'm not misusing the money. What's the best thing that could be for a Beis HaYisayimim? The best thing we could do for a Beis HaYisayimim for orphanage is that there should be no Yisayimim, there should be no orphans. By having mezuzahs, kosher mezuzahs on our door, so the Torah says that what will happen is, l'man yirbu yamechem, we'll have a riches yamim. There won't be any Yisayimim. So the best investment that I could do with that money is use it to check mezuzahs, and then I won't have a problem that there'll be any Yisaimim. The Gemara says a different reason why the Yisaimim don't have to pay off the loan. We have to assume that the loiva already paid the malva during his lifetimes, that he shouldn't leave this burden on his children, and they don't, and we, and the children That's why we don't make the children have to pay. So ask the Gemara, my Benayu. So we gave two reasons. One is because of Prius Bal Chayiv Mitzvah, and one is because a Mitzvah Re'atvasei. Ask the Gemara, my Benayu, what's the difference between these two explanations? Says the Gemara, says, Kshchayiv Moida, that if the loiva admitted that he still owes the money. So if the reason is because of Tzrori Atvasei, we need not be concerned about Tzrori Atvasei. But if the reason is because the Yisoyimim don't have an obligation to pay, that remains even under this circumstance. Taisa says the Gemara could have given another explanation, that if the father died before the loan was due, because we have a klal in Shas that people don't pay up loans before they're due. So that is a proof that he didn't pay off the loan. But the explanation of Prius Bal Chayiv Mitzvah remains. Inami, another nafkamina, is the Shemtua. Bezdin put the loiva into Cherim for not having paid his debt, or Meis Bishamte, and he died while he was in that Cherim. So that's clear that there was no Tzrari Atvasei, but the point of Prius Bal Chayiv Mitzvah remains. Says the Gemara, Sholch Metam, they sent the following halacha from Eretz Yisrael. Shemtua, if the loiva was put into Cherim for not paying up his loan, or Meis Bishamte, and he died in that situation, Hilch Sekar of Hunabre Yeshua, the halacha is that the Yisoyimim have to pay. And if the Arev will pay up, in his place, then the Yisoyimim have to pay off for it. Not only that, the Rashbam points out that even though we know that typically only real estate is meshubet to a loan, here it's different. There's a takanas goyim. We've quoted this takanas goyim previously, that we could go even after the metaltlim. Meisvei asked the Gemara. It says in the Braisa, Arav shayishtar chayv yotz metachs yaday. If the Arav claims that he paid up the loan, and as we know, when somebody pays up the loan, he gets back the loan document. So he has now the shtar that the malva gave him. The halacha is that ein agoiva. He cannot use that shtar to collect from the assignment. We can't be confident that he paid off the loan. However, from Kosabai, if the document has on it his kabalti mumcha, that the malva writes clearly that the Arav paid up the loan, goiva, then he can collect the amount that's owned from the assignment. Says the Gemara, Bishlama, Rav Huna Bered Yeshua, according to Yeshua, we're going to have that he could go after the assignment. In a case where the loiva admits that he owes the money, we could go after the assignment. And therefore, in this case, the Arav could go after the assignment. El Rapapa that says that the vart here is because priest Bal Chayiv Mitzvah. And Yisoyimim lab ever mitzvah nanu. The Yisoyimim are not obligated to do a mitzvah, so why could he go after the Yisoyimim? Answers the Gemara Shani Hasam, where the shtar has the word Hiskabalti, Lahochi Torah Vakosu Hiskabalti. Why does they have the word as the word Hiskabalti? That means as if there's a shtar between the Orev and the Yisoyimim. When there's a shtar between the Orev and Yisoyimim, then the Yisoyimim have to pay up the Orev. Says the Mahu Aravadav Chavim, there was a person, there was an Orev for somebody who borrowed money from an Akum. And the Loiva passed away before he paid up his obligation. The Pari Loiva Chavim, so the Arav paid off the Akum, before the Akum approached the Yisoyimim to pay up this debt. Amalei Rematchel Rashi, Hachama Avimi Miagrini Mishmei Derava, Afil Mandomer, according to the Mandomer that says that we have to be concerned for Cheshina Letzrori, that maybe the Loiva paid the Malva before, and therefore, the Arev should not have been so quick to pay up this loan. And if the Erev did jump and pay off the loan, we don't have to compensate him. Hanimili, when is that said, Yisrael, that because we know that when somebody pays off a Yisrael, the loiva knows that the Yisrael is honest, take the money from the loiva, and won't go after the Erev. And in fact, we understand that why did the Yisrael loiva do what he did? He only did what he did because he didn't want the Erev to be held responsible. Aval Avikachavim, when the Avikachavim is the Malva, Kivin, the Basa Arva Azul, the loiva knows that even if he pays off the loan, that won't prevent the Akum from going after the Erev, L'chashina L'tzrari. We don't have to be concerned that maybe the loiva paid him off, and therefore we're not concerned that the loiva already paid it off, and therefore when the Erev pays, he should have done it, he did the right thing, and he could go after the assignment. Amalei, so Rav Ashi said to Ramatcha, Adrabba, I can make a counter argument. I feel a man the Amr, L'chashina L'tzrari, that we're not concerned that the loiva paid off the malva. Hani Mili Yisrael, that's only in the case where the malva is Yisrael. Oivik Echavim, but when we speak about the malva who's an Oivik Echavim, Kivin the Dayuna Basa Arva Azli, since in the non-Jewish court system, they go after the Orev, even in the case where the loiva has assets. Ilav the Atzitzrar Minikara, if not that the loiva gave money to the Orev, the loiva Makabalei. In other words, the Orev in a transaction which involves an Akum knows that he has a much higher level of responsibility because he knows that they're going to go after him even if they could go after the loiva. So why would somebody agree to be an Orev in such a transaction? The only reason he agrees to be an Arv in such a transaction is because he gets the money from the loiva right away. And because he gets the money from the loiva right away, he knows that when the Akum will come after him, he won't have any loss. Being that that's the case, we could be confident that the Arv already got his money from the loiva. And since we could be confident that the Arv already got the money from the loiva, we don't allow the Arv to go after the children of that loiva. The Kenar B'Shim Gamal Omer, if somebody's an Orev in a Ksuba and not a husband divorces his wife, the Orev could demand that the husband make a neder that he won't take back the wife. Because as we explained, there is a legitimate concern that this husband and wife don't have money. And they are going to come up with the following way of getting their hands on money. The husband will divorce the wife. When a husband divorces a wife, she has a right to get a ksuba. If the husband can't pay the ksuba, they'll go after the Orev. The Orev will now give the wife the ksuba. And now they'll get remarried. And when they now get remarried, they'll have that ksuba money. The way to avoid this problem is that the husband has to make a neder, and as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, a nedal das rabim, which cannot be a no, that he's not remarrying her. So says the Gemara, Moshe ba'atzra was the arva de ksubas de kalasahava, was the arva for the ksuba of his daughter-in-law. Rav Huna his son, tzuvim rabbanahava, was a talmud chacham, with the chikalei milsa, who was very poor. Amrabai leka the nasal, the nasbe etzel Rav Huna, is there no one that could give Rav Huna a good advice, then the Gashlod Visa, let him divorce his wife, and Tezel the Tivik Suba Mavur, and now she will be able to exercise that guarantee and collect the Suba from her father-in-law, Moshe Ba'atzri, and now for Hada and the Hadra, and then they'll get remarried and they'll have this money. Amalei Rava, but Sir Rava, what kind of good advice is this? Haven't we, as we just said, Vayadirena Hanotanan, that they have to make this nether, that they can't get remarried. Amal Abaya Otto called the Megarish, Rabbi Dina Megarish. So it says, if they get divorced in Besdin, so Besdin is going to go through this procedure. But not everybody gets divorced in Besdin. If they're not going to get divorced in Besdin, then there won't be anybody to exercise that they have to make this Hanot, this nether. And this opens up a question Is there a necessity for a Bezdin for a divorce? So some Rishonim explain, of course there is a necessity for a get to be done in a Bezdin. What the Gemara meant to say is that the Bezdin, you don't have to go to a very qualified Bezdin that will know to make this nether. Go to a simple Bezdin that won't know to do this. However, there are those, based on this Gemara, the Bach and the Taz, say that a get does not need a Bezdin. Neither Behuda disagrees. Neither Behuda says that a get does need a Bezdin. But says the Gemara, L'soif g'loi milsevo, what happened at the end, this piece of advice wasn't a good piece of advice. The Kohen who? Rav Huna was a Kohen. And we know a Kohen can't remarry his wife. And Omar Bayis, said, Haina damri inchi, that this is what people say, Basa niyasa ezla niyasa. People who are poor get even less, have even less money. And here, he maybe had an opportunity to have a way of getting some funds, but it didn't work out. So I saw, if we look at the word ani, the letters after the words ani are kesef. The ani is always being mispalel, the bosa and the osoi, after his current situation, where unfortunately he's an ani, bosa and the osa, but after he's an ani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help that he should ultimately have money. The Pasuk says, Tzav as Aaron ves Bonav Leimar. Says Rashi, Ain't Tzav el Loshen Zerus. I'm Rab Shimon, B'yoyis Atzar HaKosel Zaris, B'mokim Shiesh Chasaron Kis. So I saw that the Sefer Yedaben Moshe says that this world that is a difficult world. The world that we live in is that a person who's wealthy is a person who gets honor. And what the Torah says, that the Torah is telling the Kohanim, who are the people we have to tell you to give cover to? But people who don't have money. The Rashi is saying, we're not worried that somebody who has money will get honor. That's the way the world works. What we're telling you is that if somebody who doesn't have money, you should also, b'yoyse tzarech lazarev, give them the proper respect. The Gemara Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Tzadik Beis Amud Aleph says, Amalei Rava L'Rava Bar Meri, B'na'am Milsi Da'amri Inchi, from where do we have this rule, the Bosa Aniyah Azla Aniyosoi, poor people get poorer. Amalei, she said, the Tanad, the Mishnah Masechta Bikurim teaches us that the Ashirim, when they brought their Bikurim, they brought the Bikurim in gold and silver baskets. The poor people brought it in wicker baskets. The rich people got their baskets in return after they delivered the fruit of Bikurim. The poor people baskets were left. And the question is, why did Chazal, in fact, do this? Why did Chazal say that the poor people leave the basket and the wealthy people should take the basket home? So the Belzer Rebbe, Rabbi Socha Doiv, explains as follows. He says, the Rashi says that after somebody brings Bikurim, there would be a basket that would come out and say, Havesa Bikurim Ayom, you brought Bikurim this year, Tishna Lashana Haba. You'll be able to do it again. So he says, we specifically give back the silver and gold baskets to the wealthy people. And we tell them, this year you brought silver and gold baskets. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help. Then next year again you should come bring Bikurim. And again you should bring them in the silver and gold baskets because you're wealthy. But we don't want to give the bracha to the aniyim that they should still be stuck with wicker baskets. So we hold on to the wicker baskets and we tell them, this year you brought in wicker baskets, we're keeping them. Because next year we hope you're going to bring in silver and gold baskets. Ask the Gemara, Miyom Abaye Hachi, is this acceptable that Abaye gave this kind of advice? Vamar Abaye Ezer Rosh Arum. Who's considered Rosh Arum? Zeh Mesia Eitz Limka Ben Nechasim Krav Shim Gamliel. If somebody, we learned this Gemara earlier in our Masechta, where somebody made a will, and he says that after I pass, my asset should go to this person, and then after that person passes, my asset should not go to his Yarshim, but to someone else. If somebody advises the person that he should sell the assets, that is the halacha is he's allowed to do it, but that's giving conniving advice. So how did you give this kind of advice that was hurting Moshe ben Atzri? And the Rishonim explain, why is he called a Rosh Arum? What's the explanation of Rosh and Arum? So Rishonim explain, if somebody does an Aveira, or somebody gives bad advice, but he has what to gain, so that's a Rosh. But if somebody gives bad advice, and he has nothing personal to gain from that advice, he's just bad. That's why it's called the Rosh Arum. Says the Gemara, that's not a question. But no Shani v'tzumar Banishani. Here it was Moshe Ba'atzri's son, Rafuna, and he was a Talmud Chacham. The Rishonim debate, is it only because he had both of these qualities, that it was a son and a Talmud Chacham, or is one quality and is one character, one condition enough? Says the Gemara, Arifu, the Kaimalon, but now the Gemara introduces a new consideration. Wasn't he an Arif? And the Gemara says now that an Arif, the Ksuba, and we're going to explain it in a moment, never really becomes obligated. Says the Gemara, Kablan Hava. He wasn't just an Arif, he was a Kablan. So says the Gemara, Nichlaman, Kablan the Ksuba, that if somebody is an Arif, Kablan the Ksuba, Afagav the next say the Baal, even if the Chosin doesn't have any assets, Mishtabet Shaper, he becomes completely obligated. So now we understand when Moshe Ba'atzri was responsible for this Ksuba. Elman Dami Yisle Mishtabet. Only if the Chosin has money and the Arav is an Arav Kabun does he become responsible. However, Ilesle, if the Chosin doesn't have money, then Lo Mishtabet, he doesn't become obligated. Because he didn't really obligate himself. The only reason he took this on is because he wanted to help that there should be a wedding. Michael Maimer, because the Gemara is assuming that Rav Huna did not have money, as we see. Answer the Gemara, at the time of his wedding, Havilei, Rav Huna did have money, and that's why the Arav Kablan that Moshe Ba'atzri became was a legitimate Arav Kablanus, Rishtatav, but then he lost his assets. Vibayis Eimer, Abel Gaber Berei, Moshe Ba'atzri was a father, and when we're speaking about a father, Shibude Mashbid. A father takes on that arvis seriously, even if the chassan has no money. Ditmar, arv the ksuba. If somebody's just a regular arv by ksuba, everybody agrees loy mishtabit that he's not responsible. Kablan the bachoiv, as we started our shiur today. If somebody's a kablan on a arv kablan on a debt, that the Reakom Mishtabri becomes responsible. Kablan the Ksuba, when we have a situation of he's a Kablan, but it's a Ksuba, or Arv the Balchayv, or regular Arv. Masav Islay in the Nachsil Loiva. If the Loiva had assets, then we say certainly this Arv was Mishtabid, Ileslay, but if he didn't have assets, he was just doing this perfunctory, but he didn't really expect and didn't really take on a full fledged obligation. In these two cases of Kablan the Ksuba and Arav the Baal Chayiv, he takes on the responsibility seriously. The Hilchasab, the Halach is Arav, if an Arav on a debt, on a loan, Bein Islay, Bein Leslay, Mishtabed. That's what an Arav is all about. Ba'ma Arav the Ksuba, the Afaka of the Islay Labal, even though the husband has money, the Arav is really not taking this on full heartedly. My Tama. Why? Why do you take something on if you don't mean it? Because the mitzvah of it, he says, I'm doing a mitzvah to make that there should be a Jewish wedding. And moreover, like me the chasra, the wife, when I lend money, and I'm not going to get my money back, that represents a loss. Here, there's no loss. The kala doesn't lose anything by getting married. And as all the Rishonim explained, throughout Shas we have a rule, Tav l'meisav tando mitav l'meisav armala. Women want to be married. And therefore, even if the guarantor that the person took on by the ksuba is not serious, it doesn't mean that she doesn't want to get married, and therefore he doesn't have that level of responsibility.